All right, so you're living this great life in New York. Something came into somebody's mind to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma. How did that come about?
Well, it would have been because we had the house, and then probably about 2013, probably David realized that he was having memory problems. So he, because David would always say, what are we doing? And I would tell him, and then he could come back to me 10 minutes later and say, now, what are we doing? Because he was concentrating on whatever he was doing. He was not concentrating on what might be happening in an hour from now, particularly. And so, which was normal, because that's just kind of what he did. I was used to it all my life, because I'd always say, that's what we're doing. And I'd have to tell him again, and I have to remind him again, because he was much more interested in what he was working on. But then he realized that he was having trouble. So he went to a neurologist. And probably 2014, I noticed on his schedule that he had a typed schedule every day, which we could get him for the week. And it listed everything that he had to be and where he was supposed to be. And there was a doctor on it that I didn't know. So I asked his secretary, who's this? And she said, well, it's a neurologist. I said, oh, okay. And so anyway, I go with him finally to this neurologist, and he's beginning then at really to have problems. They ask you all these, when were you born? Where do you live? And all that, which he could answer. But certain questions they would ask him, like, who's wouldn't be the president of the United States, but I don't know. It could be something that probably should know. I don't know. So, which was somewhat like David, but not, you probably should know that. And then the next time we would go, which let's say was 3 months later, then it was a little bit worse. So at one point he just said to me, which was probably 2015, he said, why don't we move to Tulsa? And I was like, okay. Because I think he, in his own mind, which he never verbalized, he didn't want to be in New York and be around people that knew him and see him that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. That's tough. Right. Mm. but you had purchased this house a number of years earlier.
Yeah, we bought it in 2008.
So did you anticipate something was going to be a move here? No,
we came out here one weekend. I don't know why. Might have been Easter weekend or something. We came out, we were with Charles, and he said, remember that house that I leased for 1 year? And Francie always called him the women's prison. I don't know why. And I knew exactly. I mean, I said, and I love these. These were built by an architect from Chicago by the name of Colburn. And George Kravis and Tim Smith built them in the late 70s. And Colburn's a very famous architect and did very simple architecture. And I remember when they were built, Betty Conheim took me over here to look at them. And I thought, oh, these are, for Tulsa, these are really, really nice. And in fact, this was the one that I saw then. And I remember it and thought, these are just really exceptional. So anyway, I knew what the place looked like, and David was with me, and he said, why don't we buy this? I said, okay. So we did. And then I think he had buyer's remorse, because he was like, why did we do that? I said, well, I don't know. We've done it. So anyway, so we had it and, got it done and fixed and the way we wanted to have it done.
And you refurbished, did a lot of work in this house.
Yeah. Did a lot of just kind of cosmetic things. We changed the master bedroom a little bit and the master bath. We redid completely. But the kitchen was kind of basically what it was. We made some changes. I narrowed some doorways and widened one and put an antique mirror above them and, did cosmetic architectural things to make it more pleasing to us.
Right.
And anyway, so it was all done and we had it. And it seemed, and I think David was like, and David had been out here enough that he liked being out here and liked all my friends, and they were his friends. And so it was familiar to him. So he thought, well, why don't we do that? And I thought, okay, fine, we'll do that.
And it was a simpler way of life.
Oh, yeah.
From New York.
Yeah. David was getting at that point before we left, he was getting lost. He could get in a cab and get home. He had an address. He knew where to go if he had the address. But he couldn't walk there. He couldn't navigate. We lived on 20th Street, and Gramercy Tavern was literally down the street from us. And I could say, well, I'll meet you at Gramercy Tavern, and he couldn't get there. Hmm. And, you know, other places that we would go to all the time, like Union Square Cafe, he knew exactly where it was. It was 2 blocks from our office. I said, why don't you meet me at Union Square Cafe? He couldn't get there. So it was just difficult, you know. He never got lost that he couldn't get home, because in New York, you get in a cab, you got money, you'll get there, you know.
Right.
But if he was driving, you know, had to drive someplace, no.
This had to be horrifying for you to realize that this was coming on and unsettling to you.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. It wasn't scary to move out here.
I meant the fact that you saw this happening.
Oh, yeah.
This is dementia we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And he 2 years before we moved out here, you could tell that he was just, if you had a new client come in the office and they had a townhouse that needed to be renovated, well, he could do the drawings of it immediately. I mean, he would just sit down and he would redo all the floors and make it all make much more sense for somebody. And it was just something he would do just instinctively. He could do that in a minute. You know, he'd work on it on the weekend and he would call the client and say, let's have a meeting and show it. And we always had to say, don't do that. We have to have them sign a contract. You can't give it away. that was just instinctive. And he couldn't do that. We had a client that came in and they were putting 2 townhouses together. And he sat there for probably 3 weeks, and I'd say, and he had the plan, and we said, here's the program that we're working with then. And he would come back to me every hour or so and say, now where's the stair gonna go? And I'd show him, and then we'd do it again, and we'd do it again. And finally we didn't get the job, but we did a presentation for them. And then there was an episode where the altitude is really bad for dementia patients, which I didn't realize. And David, we had work in Aspen, and he was out in Aspen, and he got completely confused. He got up in the middle of the night and he had his suitcase and he was wandering around the streets of Aspen. Mm-hmm. And luckily he was there with 2 girls from the office. And I think that weekend he was supposed to meet me, and my nephew was getting married, and he was getting married. Where was he getting married? Oh, in Austin, Texas. And David was supposed to come for the wedding from Aspen. And he got to the airport but couldn't get on the plane. He couldn't figure it out. Hmm. And so I told the girls, you got to take him to the airport and you got to just make sure he gets on the plane. I don't know how to do this. And he missed it again. And so finally I just said, just get him on a plane to New York. Just get him home, and because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So that was the last time he really traveled by himself or with somebody. Mm-hmm. Unless we traveled a little bit, you know, when we moved out here, but I was with him. But he couldn't go on his own.
Then he had the official diagnosis as dementia in New York.
Yeah. So our doctor, you know, basically said, well, that's what he's got. And so, just what do we do? How do you do it? So anyway, it was just, it made sense to move out here because everything was so much easier to deal with. I didn't have to worry about him getting lost. Every once in a while he could do something out here, but doctors, going to the doctor's easier out here, going to the hospital was easier out here. David had bladder cancer and we had to go to the hospital with that, I think 6 different times that we had to go for, I don't know, they would do some sort of injection or something and do a biopsy or whatever. And the first time he went, I mean, he was being his self, but he wasn't bad as I thought he was. And so anyway, the operation was over and he was in his room and he seemed perfectly fine. And he said, why don't you go home? You don't need to be here with me. So I went home, and then it was like 8 o'clock at night, and the nurse called and said, well, he's ripped out his IV and his catheter. And they said, there's blood everywhere, and he's locked himself in the bathroom. I don't think he locked himself, but he's in the bathroom. So I said, I'll be right there. So anyway, I said, he's not dangerous. He's just, anyway. And so then I talked to the doctor, and he said, well, what happens in late afternoon, early evening, they get sundowners and they really forget everything. They just, everything becomes very confused. So anyway, then all the other trips that we would go to the hospital and he had to be there at night, I'd just stay in the room with him. Luckily, we got a big room and they'd bring in a bed for me and I'd sleep and try to help him.
Well, it sure made sense why you were in Tulsa then, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that was St. John Hospital, I suppose, that you were in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it just, yeah. And I think the saddest thing is watching somebody who was so loved what he did, couldn't do it anymore, and he couldn't read anymore. You could watch him read or think that he was reading because he would turn the pages. But when he could still kind of read a bit, you realize that he was always going back to the beginning again, and he'd always go back. And then you realize after a while he wasn't really reading. He was just sort of in the motion of reading. Mm-hmm. And kind of thought that because he loved to read, loved books.
Yeah.
So it was sad to watch somebody just deteriorate.
What was the age difference in the
13
years? Yeah. Right.